This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
To Granstrom, he shoots and scores. Another turnover, another odd man rush, and another goal as Carl Granstrom rips the puck right into the roof of the Flames' net, and the Kings now have an 8-2 lead.
It was ugly last night in Los Angeles. The Flames fall 8-2 in an important game against their Pacific Division rivals. A chance to gain ground on the Predators and Jets who were inactive last night. And that kind of effort gets put on the table by the group. Glass half full. You're in action again tonight against the Anaheim Ducks with a chance to prove yourself. And perhaps you can get some revenge on the Kings when they come to town next week as part of the three-game homestand for the Calgary Flames. But use whatever word you want. Unacceptable, garbage, disappointing, frustrating. It all applies following an 8-2 loss to the LA Kings. This is Sportsnet Today. It's Hour 2. Logan Gordon along with you. My outstanding production team of Cam and Taylor are with us this afternoon. We're talking all things Flames this segment of Hour 2 after a blowout loss last night to the LA Kings. The fan feedback line is open to you at 960-960. We'll hear from head coach Daryl Sutter after last night's loss. We'll jump into a couple different topics, but the main one I wanted to explore with you right now is where does this rank among losses this season for the Calgary Flames? Because they've had bad games this year, and they've had poor efforts, bad timing of losses. They've had stinkers against Chicago at home. You think of the game against Columbus, going back to last calendar year in December. Like, they've had bad losses, but they've rarely been to the degree of what last night was for this team. And you compound it, in my mind at least, with more of what we've talked about all year long for this team. Same thing happened to you against a good Dallas team. And yes, the schedule was not favorable. You have Vegas, Dallas, LA, all near or atop the Western Conference. You are in Vegas and then in Calgary and then in LA. That doesn't make a lot of sense travel-wise, but it is what it is. And the more frustrating part to me is I thought this team would have learned a lesson Saturday against the Dallas Stars. It's a topic that's been among all of them, the one-goal games, the overtime losses, throw it all in there as part of your what are the Calgary Flames or what made the Calgary Flames in 2022-2023. And it's bad starts. We've talked about forever, probably going back to training camp, about how this team is not built to come from behind. Daryl Sutter says it's a 3-2 league. That's how you got to win if you don't have offensive superstars. Well, when you're down 2-0 and then 3-0 or worse on back-to-back nights, do you not know the result before the first period has come to an end? Because last night, I think, is more common than what happened Saturday. And look, I still give the group a lot of credit for bouncing back in that game against Dallas and forcing it to overtime. But let's be honest, that's not going to happen very often. There's something strange about the Flames and the Stars this year that lead to these high-scoring affairs. I can promise you, down the stretch, the more nights that the Flames get down 2-0 or 3-0, it's going to look like it was last night in LA, 8-2 instead of 6-5 for the other team. This team is not built to come from behind. They have a hard enough time scoring against a team that is, you know, an opposition team, I should say, that's, I don't know, equal to the Flames defensively, or, you know, let alone being in a defensive shell, because they're up a couple goals. It doesn't get any easier for you when the opposing team is up 3 and doesn't feel the need to press offensively as much and take as many chances. It just doesn't happen. And for them to continuously find themselves in this spot where they appear to know what kind of team they are, at least they talk like they know what kind of team they are, because we hear them say the right things of, well, we know we need to be better on starts. We know getting a lead can do so many good things for us. Okay, well, they say that, but they rarely do that. And it's just another situation tonight where, do I have any idea what this group is going to look like against the Anaheim Ducks Tuesday night? I have no clue. My guess, based on the Jekyll and Hyde nature of this group, is it's probably a rebound game tonight. They probably look a million miles away from the team that played last night in LA, because that's what this group has been. Now, is there a chance in my mind that all of this talk the last 48 hours about veteran players and the head coach butting heads and a blowout loss to a division rival with 11 games left in the season, is there a chance that this team, that this is finally that spot where the team can't bounce back and puts themselves in the spot that many of us thought they were going to be in, and that's that a team is just, you know, feigning as playoff contenders? I think that's possible as well. But to guess at this point is a fool's errand, because this team has just been so consistently inconsistent. I don't know how you would possibly have any sense as to what this group could be or will be tonight against Anaheim. We don't have a morning skate for the Flames on Tuesday, obviously, with travel late last night following the game in LA. So lineup changes, goaltenders, that sort of information will come your way during Flames warm-up with Pat and Peter a little bit later on this evening. Call it 7:30 or so when the teams take to the ice for warm-up. So make sure you're dialed in here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan for the latest when that news comes down. Starting goaltender, your guess again, as good as mine. Could I see lineup changes? Sure, last lineup changes didn't have the desired effect on this group either, though. I again, has Brett Ritchie been great? Or excuse me, Nick Ritchie. Producer Taylor looked at me like, it's Nick, not Brett. Fair. Has Nick Ritchie been, he scored a couple times, okay. He hasn't moved the needle for me. I'm sorry. I was excited to see him back in the lineup, but I continue to be frustrated by Adam Ruzicka, who again has all the tools in the world, but is, I don't know, just in a spot where it's just not going to be successful. I don't know what it is. I'd like to see Walker Duehr come in, but does that change? Like, Walker Duehr coming in doesn't change that Nazem Kadri is miles off of his game and that Jonathan Huberdeau was again more invisible than visible last night in that game against LA. So, could we see lineup changes? Sure. Do I think that any of it matters unless the key players on this team show up tonight in Anaheim? No, none of that matters at all. We'll get to your text here in a moment. But first, let's dive back into last night from L.A. Hear from the head coach, Daryl Sutter, following his team's loss to the L.A. Kings. Short and sweet from the Flames coach last night.
Maybe just how you kind of view this one here tonight,
though. It jumped all over us, all over our mistakes we made in the first period.
Was it an energy problem or?
No. It's not always about energy. Sometimes it's just about getting outplayed.
Anything change at all for you throughout the course of the game?
Or Pardon?
Anything change for you at all throughout the course of the game?
No. Game plan was, you're down 4-0, you pretty much got to flush and start again, right?
Yeah.
No reason to, or no other way around it. So score the power play goal, start the second. But 5-5, I think they dominated us.
Were there any positives tonight at all?
No. Flush it. Let's go.
Get Dan some action there in the third. Is that? No,
it's a tough call because you're already thinking when it's four. Cobb, you're thinking about tomorrow already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you're kind of in between in it, what you're doing. But you hadn't played in a while, so it's good to get him the third, I think.
Yeah.
By getting him in, that gives you an option.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. There you go. Just over 60 seconds of head coach Daryl Sutter's media avail last night from L.A., following an 8-2 loss to the Kings. Now to the text line at 960-960. We always love the feedback here on Sportsnet today. Questions, comments, concerns, talking all things Calgary Flames on this game day and following the loss last night to Los Angeles. Just general topics. Feel free to chime in with whatever you're feeling right now and kind of throw out the general topic of where does last night rank for Flames fans when it comes to losses on the season, because I got to imagine that's near the top, if not at the very top for a lot of people. But some of your text here at 960-960 to keep us going here on Sportsnet today as we're into hour two. Our pal Rob from Warman texting in says, I'm driving home from Prince Albert to Warman today and the Flames' performance last night was about as dismal as this drive. I haven't made that drive, Rob, but as someone whose majority of my family is in Saskatchewan and in a couple of small towns in Saskatchewan, I can imagine just how much fun that drive would be. This text says, regardless of what's said, it boils down to the goalie. He's paid to stop pucks in any other industry or job. If you fail at your job, you get fired. All losses are losses. None are greater than the other. I don't know that I'm kind of 0-2 on that one. I think certain losses feel different. And I'm not getting into the Markstrom thing last night. It doesn't matter. That's not on him last night. That's as distinct as I can be. Watch the first three goals. It's turnovers. It's guys puck watching. It's guys getting outskated, outbattled. I understand I've defended Jacob Markstrom a lot this year. Was he great last night? No, he wasn't. Who was? You can't, I can't sit there and say it was 25 last night. The whole team was awful. Give the guy a little bit of help. They left Dan Vladar out to dry as well when he was there. He wasn't any better. So I can't put that on Markstrom last night. Has he had a bad year? Sure. The last 2 weeks been better with the exception of Saturday and last night? Yeah. What else we got here? Scott H. texts in, says, it wasn't that painful last night with the sample size this year. We knew that's what the Flames were, a team that can get on a run, can't get on a run for some reason. Big Mike texted in, said, Logo, it's hard to rank alternating piles of blank. This team is not right. Something is sour. I think that's 100% accurate, Mike. Something with this group is way off right now. Jeff in Lethbridge, I stopped watching after the second period for the first time this year. Before the boys start their vacation, I think Kadri, Huberto, and Markstrom, along with Daryl and ownership, need to get together with a fan representative over 18 holes of golf. That fan should be Robert from Overtime. I think he best represents us. That's from Jeff in Lethbridge. Robert is as fired up as a fan. If you know who we're talking about, Robert from the post-game show with Pat, always a regular call-in. You have to love Robert's passion for it. He was fired up again last night. If you want to check it out, the Flames Talk podcast feed has that for you. You can check out all the great texts and calls on the Flames post-game show last night with Pat. Our pal Matt and Cochran. Saying, I started to wonder if ownership sent Lanny in to get a better feeling of the room. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know the circumstances of Lanny being there. Being a franchise icon and a guy whose name and number sit in the roof of the Scotiabank Saddle Dome earns you that level of respect and certainly earns you a pass into the Flames locker room, I think, whenever you want or have something to say. I don't know if that's something where Lanny was asked to be that guy. If it just worked out, then he thought he could provide a positive voice for a couple of guys. Lanny's as passionate and, heartfelt about this group as anybody. And he's not, officially associated with the team. He'll always be associated with the team. As a former captain, as a Stanley Cup winner, and he'll always have that place with the group. But yeah, I don't know, Matt, specifically if there was a reason for him being in that locker room. If somebody asked him to get their feel, I'm sure it wouldn't hurt to hear what a guy like Lanny could say about a group that's feeling the way the Flames are right now. Continuing at 960-960, the fan feedback line open to you. This text says, I understand that as Flames fans, it's our job to discuss them. However, I'm a little embarrassed about what it says about our community as a whole, that the greatest player on earth is 3 hours north, having a historic season, and we refuse to acknowledge it. Just my personal thoughts. That's from Olivier, huge Flames fan. Yeah, look, I certainly appreciate what Connor's doing. It's one of the greatest NHL seasons of my lifetime. But, we are Flames Radio. We're the home of the Calgary Flames, and I can guarantee you a much different text line if I decide to take 30 minutes out to chat about Connor McDavid. We will get there. I'll say that for sure. But just to, be clear about it, we're not ignoring it. I think people in Calgary want to dive into the problems with their team and to dive into what Connor's doing or what the Oilers doing is, I don't know. It's a bit salt in the wound, and I think it's a bit outside of where we need to go on a day like today. A couple more here. This one says, this is all on Treliving and Sutter. Treliving, great off season, but the Flames have a bunch of playmakers and no natural goal scorers. Sutter has to quit beating this defense-first mentality with his team. His style doesn't work with what they have, and him as a coach needs to change things up system-wise instead of keep doing the same plan over and over. This text says, the whole team was invisible light last night, not just Hubie. Fair enough. This text says, besides Backlund and Coleman, this team plays with zero heart. They have clearly quit on their coach. This text comes in, says, this is the worst loss I can remember in years. They're checked out in the room and checked out on the season. This one says, not that I'm a fan of what happened last night, but it's probably to be expected. It's impossible to think they can maintain a level that they've been playing at every night. Let's move on to the next game. Ryan from Hannah texts in saying, a win tonight and everything is good again. Back in the hunt. Throw last night's game in the trash. And that's an interesting one. Because you're right, Ryan. In a sense, the mood tomorrow around this group could be completely different. If they win tonight and somehow Nashville and Winnipeg don't win, which is very possible, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not. Both of those teams have wasted enough of their opportunities keeping the Flames in this. It hasn't just been the Flames and their up and down play that have, suddenly kept them in this race. Winnipeg and Nashville have been terrible at shutting this thing down. They both lose tonight. Nationals in Buffalo. Winnipeg host Arizona. They don't love the Arizona matchup as much, but Nashville could lose to Buffalo. We just saw Arizona not that long ago. They're not a team. They're playing pretty loose. Winnipeg's been trash of late in some of these games. We could come in here with a very different perspective. I think it's just, you know, part of looking at, you know, an 8-2 loss last night and wondering where this group is at after one of the tougher losses on the season. A couple more here at 960-960. Cole said, about Sylvia, another good post-game caller. This text says, Bruce, there it is, just saying. Our pal Brady from Airdrie says, I was actually happy I was busy calving cows last night instead of watching the game.
I want to see the baby cows.
Yeah, if you have pictures, Brady, you can send those along. That's a good man last night out with the calves. Hopefully you got the radio out there so you can hear Derek and Lou on the call. But we appreciate you, Brady, and everybody else working the calves this time of year. We know you're out there listening to the 960 feed. We appreciate that. Another text from Airdrie. Jamie chiming in and said, hey, Logo, go figure, another Flames team that has something going on behind the scenes that has the team playing worse than it should. Players that don't like the way they're being coached. Haven't we read this book before? Yeah, that's something that sounds pretty familiar around these parts. Going back to the text that we weren't giving Connor McDavid enough love based on everything going on with the Oilers. Text come in and says, Connor, nope, everyone knows how good he is. Thanks, have a great day. This one says, you only mentioned McDavid once and I'm already mad. Yes, I can't do that. It's not going to go well. I know my audience, Taylor, and I'm not going to go there. It's like if I did a segment, if we just went like, all right, all Leafs next segment.
We're only talking about the Sabres.
We're going to talk about John Tavares and his impact on the Leafs for 30 minutes. You would all tune out. You would all unfollow me on Twitter. You'd send hateful messages, and I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame you at all. So, yes, is Connor having a great season? Absolutely. Am I going to bring it up here for 20 minutes? Absolutely not.
I bet you could have a better season than Connor McDavid.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, God, no.
If it weren't for the bum knee, of course.
You know what it reminds me of immediately when I was reading that text? It reminds me of the Borat movie when he goes into the vegetarians and the vegans and starts asking them why they don't eat meat. It's like, you got to know your audience a little bit better. You can't. That's immediately what struck me was like, you just can't. You got to know when people are going to be mad at you. And I'm not going to do that one. So a couple more here before we get out of this segment. Darcy says, we all love the Flames, but at what point do we acknowledge this isn't the year and start rooting for the Oilers to bring back the... No, Darcy, no, no. I love the province. I truly do love living in Alberta. It's a great place to live. But that's... And maybe, Darcy, maybe you're one of the few, but I don't know many Flames fans that even if Edmonton's the last team standing for Canadian teams, that they want Edmonton to win the Cup. And I'm not even getting into that, but that's not a conversation I'm having yet. Not going to happen.
I mean, Cale Makar brought the Cup to Calgary just this summer. So...
Yeah, the Cup's been in Calgary sooner than it's been in Edmonton. It's just so happened that a guy playing for Colorado did it. That's all. What else we got here? Tim texted in. He says, assuming Coronado signs and comes up, who does he replace in the lineup, and who does he play with on a line? That's a very good question. Tim, I don't know the answer to it. A lot of it is going to depend on when Coronado's season ends. It could possibly end as soon as Friday. If his team wins on Friday, I believe their next game would be on Sunday. So logistics being what they are, I would imagine the team would like to get him into a handful of games. Probably some practices mixed in there. I don't know. He's a scorer. I think you'd like to see him in a top nine, top six role, but it'll be a little easier to answer closer and and once pen is on paper for that one. A couple more here before we get out of here. This one says, I was mad, I was disgusted, now I'm just plain embarrassed by this team. Grown men acting like children, it is embarrassing. Ray texts in saying, Kadri won the lottery. He's going to exert himself in Sutter's system. It's very clear they don't see eye to eye. And last but not least, this text in saying, I've noticed, I've watched this team for over 50 years, but this team might be the most confusing. I've noticed all year the defensemen seem to prefer playing forward. Could be the reason we get caught up ice so bloody often. Maybe the forwards are tired of covering for the defense. The previous game, we saw a 4-on-1. That's been a story all season long. It is brutal. Yeah, fair enough. I get it. Not a lot going on with this team positive right now. And last night, as we mentioned with Lou back on hour one, last night certainly wasn't the night to be picking up individual praise based on the result. Can they bounce back tonight? We'll find out. It's another 8 p.m. puck drop in California, this time against the Ducks. No word again on starting goaltenders or lineup changes for the Flames based on the fact they didn't have morning skate Tuesday in Anaheim. So keep it locked to Flames warm-up at around 7:30 with Pat and Peter. They'll get you the latest on the Calgary Flames heading into that game against the Ducks. You can hear it right here, puck drop just after 8 with Wills and Labardius on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll be back to close out hour two in just a moment. You're listening to Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, Sportsnet Today, we're rolling on a Tuesday game day for the Calgary Flames, the Flames and the Ducks. We'll see Anaheim one more time this season back at the Scotiabank Saddledome, April 2nd. A little Sunday affair at the Saddledome. Anaheim officially eliminated from postseason contention following a 2-1 loss to Vancouver on Sunday. They're in the midst of an 8-game homestand taking on the Flames tonight. 8 p.m. puck drop, 7 o'clock Flames warm-up with Pat Steinberg and Pete Labardius. Logan Gordon along with you. She's Taylor, he's Cam. Outstanding production team here on Sportsnet Today. Fan feedback line always open to you at 960-960. We dove deep into your feelings on all things Calgary Flames. Last segment, we'll hear from a couple members of the Flames on a game day in Anaheim coming up shortly. Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman handling the media duties for the Flames today, so we'll get you that coming up in just a bit. But as we look at the opposition tonight, the Anaheim Ducks. The Ducks have earned points in 9 of their last 12. They have a 6-4-4 record over the last month. So for Anaheim, season, you know, come to an end, mathematically eliminating them. But as we know, still a team that can give you some trouble if you're the Calgary Flames. They got a 3-1 win over Calgary back at the Saddledome earlier this month in the finale of a 3-game road trip to Canada for the Anaheim Ducks. Calgary coming in 31-25-15, 4 points behind Winnipeg for the Western Conference's second and final wild card spot. Tonight's game will be the NHL debut of new Ducks signee Nikita Nesterenko. He was acquired from Minnesota at the trade deadline, signed an entry-level contract with the team last week. He's going to skate on the line with Jakob Silverberg and Isaac Lundstrom. 21 years old. Won't surprise you, but a sixth-round pick of the Minnesota Wild back in 2019 from Brooklyn, New York. Finished up his year at Boston College with 34 points in 36 games. Expecting John Gibson to get the start in goal for Anaheim tonight. Flame side of things, like we mentioned a couple times, no morning skate due to the back-to-back. So who are you going to go with in net after Dan Vladar cleaned up the last 20 minutes last night for Jacob Markstrom? Hard to say. I'd probably lean towards Dan Vladar just given how much work Jacob has had of late. I think it was good to get Dan some game action last night so that it's not all coming back to him in a game setting tonight. That's just me. Would it stun me if the team went back to Jacob Markstrom? No, it wouldn't. He's been the workhorse the last couple of weeks, and outside of these last two games, I would say has been a pretty shining star for the Calgary Flames in most of those games. So we'll wait and see who the starting goaltender is for the Flames. Lineup changes still to be determined as well for this group. Plenty of players, deservedly so, saw minimal ice time during that game against LA. Still waiting to see some sort of breakthrough or emotion from Nazem Kadri since his time on ice has been cut. That hasn't happened yet. Thought we might see a bit of it last night in the third period. He gets tangled up with a couple of Kings players. Quentin Byfield comes by, gives him a little shot that Nikita Zadorov definitely didn't like. So Nikita gave him another shot. Didn't work out for the Flames. They wound up being on a 5-on-3 penalty kill for a full 2 minutes. But, and I'm not saying you need to sit there and take the penalties, but a little bit more of that emotion. We've talked a lot about that, especially from Nazem's point of view. Get a little angry, get a little upset. Any of that sort of emotion certainly can't hurt in a game like tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. So let's head to Anaheim, hear from a couple members of the Calgary Flames on a game day, starting with probably their most consistent forward this year, Michael Backlund. He spoke to the media today ahead of their game against the Ducks.
Maybe let's just response, because I know we can, you know, look at last night, and there's probably not much more to take out of it at this point. But what do you expect in terms of a response, and what does it have to look like for you guys here tonight?
Yeah, we want to come out and have a good start. Last two games, we had two slow starts and put ourselves in a bad spot. Yesterday, we couldn't recover from it. We're going to have to be a desperate team tonight, showing that, you know, we're still in it and we want to be there. We show it to ourselves and to all the fans out there. They're, I'm sure, pretty frustrated the way we played this year, and they want to see us go for a push here. So we got to show ourselves and everyone supporting us that we can be better than we were last night.
How does that look in terms of the start too? I know you guys talk a lot about that, how the rest of it, you know, kind of feeds the rest of your game when your starts are good. What does that have to look like in the early part here?
Well, I just, you know, back to back, just keep it simple early, get pucks in, go to work, get our feet moving, and I think it's always in a back to back, you try and keep it simple early on and get everyone involved, and try and create that energy and establish them also on time, and I think those are the big keys.
You mentioned kind of the frustration, or at least, you know, how are you managing that, and how does it, you know, manifest itself? What do you, you know, when you're trying to use it in the right way? Obviously, you don't want to see what happened last night, but just to try to make sure that you're using it the right way.
Like no one on our team's happy about last night, and so we gotta come out tonight and show that we're better than we were last night, and we're a better team than that. And if you know, use that frustration, anger, or whatever, how guys feel, use it in a positive way tonight and come out and just be ready to go and go all out tonight.
Michael, Blake mentioned individuals and individuals needing to be better tonight. I'm curious, in your mind, what you need to see from your teammates, or what have you seen this morning to know that they're taking ownership of the situation and are ready to go?
Well, you can tell guys are disappointed with last night, but at the same time, guys are ready to turn a page here and be better tonight. And we had a good meeting in there. And guys will be ready.
Guys will be ready. That's Michael Backlund speaking to the media ahead of their matchup tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. The only other Flames player to hold court with the media was Blake Coleman, another leader on this group. A lot of the same sentiment as Michael Backlund, expecting a much better effort from his team tonight against the Ducks.
Well, I mean, maybe not much to say about last night, but, you know, maybe about the response now. How does it have to look here tonight for you guys to, you know, continue to try to march in the right direction?
Yeah, it's just got to be better all around. Obviously, you know, in this league, you got to have short memory, and you flush last night down the toilet pretty quick, and the good news is it is a back-to-back, so it's a quick opportunity to respond and have a much better game.
Well, and I think, you know, we kind of looked at the standings going into last night, and I know you can't really worry about the out-of-town scoreboard, but the fact that, you know, it's 4 points and you're right back at it tonight, is there some optimism there, and just that, you know, there's still some work to be done?
yeah, it's still 4 points. You know, realistically, it would have been tough to win every single game to finish out with, you know, 12 left. So, you know, like I said, it's an effort that we're not happy with, and it's gone. We're over it, and we just got to be great tonight, and you know, worry about ourselves, try to get the 2 points, and you know, let the rest fall where it will.
How much does the start play into it? I know you guys have talked about that and how much it kind of feeds the rest of your game, but you know, when the first, you know, opening 5 to 10 minutes of your game is where it needs to be, at how much it kind of feeds the rest of it.
Yeah, our first periods haven't been good enough. I think putting ourselves in holes early is, it's a tough way to win, and you know, we were able to come back in the Dallas game and tie it up, but it's not the recipe for success here. And I think you know, you got to start on time. It's a back-to-back, so I imagine guys will be, you know, still going from last night, and hopefully a much better start from our group.
Obviously, you saw those guys 11 days ago in Calgary and didn't go your way that night either, but what do you sort of take from that one into this one tonight?
I think similar. I think the start wasn't good enough. I think, you know, there's just got to be that desperation in our game. You know, we're at that point where, you know, every shift has got to feel like your last, and you got to leave it out there, and you know, I think if we play the way that we're able to and the way that we should, we'll take care of business tonight.
You talk about the response. Are you seeing and maybe hearing the right things from your teammates this morning after, you know, what was probably a little bit of a tough one last night?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a shock, obviously. It's nobody's happy. Nobody is feeling like they played a good game last night. So, you know, it's really on the individuals. I think you can say what you want as a team, but at the end of the day, you gotta look in the mirror and you got to, you know, be happy with yourself and the way that you performed, and I know I'm not happy with my game, and I know I'll be a lot better tonight, and you know, I'm hoping that every guy on this team will say the same.
That is Blake Coleman, him and Michael Backlund, the two Flames to hold media veils today ahead of their game against the Anaheim Ducks, and a lot of the same from two veteran guys who have been great members of the Calgary Flames this year, but need more from their teammates, need more from everyone tonight. Following an embarrassing loss to the LA Kings, a chance to rebound against the Ducks. Reminder, 8 o'clock puck drop, 7 o'clock Flames warm-up for all your Flames coverage here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Busy out-of-town scoreboard across the NHL tonight. How about this, a potential first-round preview in New York. Rangers and Hurricanes kick things off at 5 o'clock tonight. You've also got the Blue Jackets and the Capitals if you're interested in wasting 60 minutes of your, or I guess maybe more than 60, like 2.5 hours, if you really wanted to do something with your day. Panthers, they've made a strong push of late. Looks like they're going to potentially be in it when everything's said and done in the Eastern Conference playoff race, especially if they can pick up 2 points tonight against the Flyers. Wild and Devils on Sportsnet West at 5 o'clock tonight. That's a pretty good matchup. Both teams look like they're destined for playoffs. On different sides, of course, of the conferences. You got the Predators and the Sabres. That's a big one for Flames fans to watch tonight. Predators with those games in hand on the Flames. Calgary with a chance to have taken a couple points last night from the Kings and move up on both those teams, but were not able to. I should say the Preds and the Jets, not the Preds and the Sabres. But we'll be watching that one at 5 o'clock as well. Battle out east between the Sens and the Bruins. Bruins at a crisp 53-11-5 as they chase down the President's Trophy this year. You've got the Lightning and the Habs. Some good news for Montreal in what's been a pretty lost season for them. They are getting a little bit healthier down the stretch here. Brendan Gallagher and Kirby Dach both expected back in the lineup tonight for Montreal. You've also got the Islanders taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's a revenge game for Pierre Engvall. That's what we've all been waiting for post-trade deadline, is for Pierre Engvall to get his hands on the Toronto Maple Leafs for trading him to the New York Islanders late in the season. That's a 5:30 puck drop. Mentioned the other team the Flames are worrying about tonight on the out-of-town scoreboard, the Winnipeg Jets. They take their 39-29-3 record up against the Coyotes at home tonight. You get the Blues and the Red Wings at 6 o'clock in a battle of two teams not going to the playoffs. Decent matchup at 6:30, Kraken and Stars, both teams with 38 wins on the season. And then your late games tonight, of course, Flames and Ducks, which we've talked about. And how about the Golden Knights taking on the Canucks? Both teams 8-2 in their last 10. The Canucks not buying into the Connor Bedard sweepstakes quite as much with Rick Tocchet in town. Quinn Hughes with some record-setting performances on Sunday, their last game out for the Vancouver Canucks victory. He had two assists and set some history with one of, I think it was 29 years in between NHL defensemen putting up back-to-back 60-assist years. Quinn Hughes goes ahead and does that for the Vancouver Canucks, and he's the first Canuck to post back-to-back 60-assist seasons since Henrik Sedin did it during his time as a member of the Vancouver Canucks. So Canucks and Golden Knights on Sportsnet Pacific as your late game tonight. Cam and Taylor, outside of the Flames and the Ducks, where are we interested tonight? And if you say the Blue Jackets and the Capitals, your mic will never come on again.
I mean, the Leafs game I think will be fun. Dallas will be fun.
Can't say anything positive about Toronto here.
Just try and stop me. I'll probably watch the Toronto game and then 10 o'clock. Yeah, put the Flames on. Let's do it. Let's see what happens.
Taylor?
Break my heart again.
I got to go with the Habs.
Stunner. Yeah. Didn't see that one coming.
Nope.
Started to get Kirby Doc back?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't even matter anymore.
Doesn't matter. I don't care. This team is just good vibes, and I like them.
Clearly not talking about the Flames.
Nope.
Other NHL news today. The league announcing that they have come to terms with the Fanatics Group to be their official uniform supplier in 2024-2025. Following the reign of Adidas, Fanatics will take over the NHL's uniforms for 10 years, and it's got people some kind of upset. If you're a sports memorabilia fan, if you're just in general someone that's used Fanatics products before, they came in sort of a couple years ago as the digital platform for to handle all of the league's online stores in one place, and you can get Fanatics Nike gear or Majestic gear or whatever through different leagues, but this is the first time that they'll foray into making uniforms themselves. And Taylor, as you and me have talked about before, if you're a jersey nerd or you're someone that's bought from Fanatics before, there's a lot of worry about this because Fanatics does not have a strong reputation for quality products.
No, they usually will spell a name wrong or have a wrong logo somewhere in there or maybe a number. So it's just kind of, what is it going to look like on the ice?
Now, a couple of prominent NHL writers, Sean Gentile, who you hear on Hockey Central 960 with Haley Salvian, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, have both wrote about this and have both said, don't look for any major uniform changes for the NHL when this comes into effect in a couple years' time. But certainly the question marks about quality and craftsmanship designs are all owned by the NHL. And I believe Fanatics plans to use a similar product when they jump into 24-25. So it won't look dramatically different than the Adidas jerseys that we have now. But, yeah, if you've bought from Fanatics before, even check out if you're on Twitter or you're on social media and you see one of the stories, go look at the replies under most of them and you will get a long list of people who have had terrible customer service with Fanatics or, like Taylor said, just really weird mistakes on their products or very shoddy workmanship where the nameplate just falls off of your jersey or there's letters missing on your jersey. And it's kind of a concerning thing for NHL fans. If you care about that sort of thing and you want to make sure you're getting good quality, it's like $200, $300 to buy a jersey. You don't want to go out and buy a crappy product for a jersey and they're going to be in there for the next 10 years.
I got lucky with mine because I only have one Fanatics jersey and everything is okay with it. But I also don't wear it that often. I have Nike and Adidas ones that are phenomenal quality. and I really like those ones. And so it's just kind of, I've seen ones on Twitter where like they got a Jack Hughes one and the number on the sleeves was 13.
Yeah.
Like so Nico Hischier's.
We can't be doing that. Like that's, we can't have that. They're very common too with mistaking similar provinces and states. A lot of people in the New York area have complained that they've ordered a New York Rangers shirt that has suddenly showed up with a New York Islanders logo on it.
Well, I saw one that had the Rangers logo on it, but the text said New York Islanders.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's not great. I have seen one that's circulating around a lot is a Jonathan Toews jersey that was ordered that spells out toes. Not entirely an exciting move for the NHL. And I think a lot of people were hoping, hey, you guys had such success. And I'm not saying that Adidas had to maintain it because the reverse retro program was a lot of fun. Guys like Brent Gibbs for the Calgary Flames did awesome work with that sort of thing. I just don't want to see it slip to a bad level. I thought they could have done something innovative. I don't know if Under Armour was the answer. I don't know if Nike was the answer. It just seems like this is a really negative choice for a lot of people who aren't already happy with Fanatics.
Yeah, I think it's kind of soured it a little bit more. I'm loving the memes that are coming out of it. But when you...
Yeah, when social media collectively hates something...
You get good content.
You get great content.
And it's the best day of the week.
It's fantastic. You'll see a lot in the questions or in the comments, too. People have been... a big complaint with Fanatics is the differing between shirts and the colors they use for teams. You'll get a dark red and a light red on the same t-shirt. So my favorite one has been, I've seen a lot of people... with the same colored helmet as the jersey, but they're switching the jersey color to be slightly off from the helmet color just to present what Fanatics does with a lot of their products. So we'll see. This is an interesting one, but it hasn't gone over very well today. And we'll have to see what exactly this means for the league going forward. But I'm sure you'll hear about it if you haven't already. Like I said, Sean Gentile of The Athletic, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, both with great articles about that. If you're so inclined, you're a jersey nerd like myself and want to read up more about what this switch over to Fanatics means for the NHL, you can check out both of their articles up on Twitter. But we got to get out of here. 2 hours are in the books. Thanks to Big Nazar. Thanks to Peter Labardius for hopping on. Thank you for listening and chiming in on the text line today. Really appreciate it. Right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.